Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, let's get a little bit crazy here on a Wednesday night. Smith is off. Mike Harmon alongside Ryan Hollins. What's going on, man? It's been a minute.
What's up, brother? It has been a minute. I've seen you. We've talked. But now we're working.
But now we get to do 4 hours of mind-blowing radio. We've got an NBA playoff game in the offing. Phoenix with a 7-point lead early second quarter as you and I get the thing started here tonight. I got to ask right off the jump. Michael Malone, after game one, he went to the "we played soft" card again. How often could a coach do that? Because he did that in round one. And yes, they went and they win the round, whatever. But how quickly do you tune that out in a locker room if the guy's going to keep coming back? Hey, you know what? We played soft. Look at the box score. We saw it. We did it again.
You know, I played for Coach Malone, and I think he's fine in the sense that, you know, it's worked. He's been able to mold those young guys. They've had success under him. Last year was the, you know, better run for the Nuggets that we hadn't seen in a while. Obviously, no Jamal Murray. But Nikola Jokic has become this, literally the MVP of the league under Mike Malone. So when he pushes the right buttons, it's worked. So as a player in the locker room, when coach does that, you're going to ride behind him or you're going to take that challenge. But the difference is, do you have my back when you're saying it, or are you throwing me under the bus when you're saying it? And I think from playing with Coach Malone, he's got the respect of the players where you want to ride for him. You know, Boogie Cousins was on the team when we played. And if you think about it, DeMarcus Cousins has not played as well as he did under Mike Malone since.
No, you're right.
Hadn't
Absolutely.
Been the same, dude.
Well, and then myriad health issues. Just think back. It's just a couple of years ago we were talking about him as a top five guy at the position and trying to figure out where he is in the NBA overall. And here we are a couple of years later. And, I mean, how quickly things do change. I think to some degree when you go to using that phraseology of soft is just, hey, come on, guys. What are we doing?
Oh, bro.
Right?
No, you know it. Like those are fighting words. Like, if you tell me that I'm soft.
Right. It can come back as fighting or just a, all right, we got to be look inside a little bit.
Nah. You want to push a ball player or a man's buttons, you call them soft, and that's not in the sports world, at least. It's not going over well.
Just, it's the interesting thing is how he goes back to that one, and they seem to respond. Because today, as we would have thought, the MVP, Jokic, after what was a fairly passive game one, right? I think we can all agree to that. It was not the guy who won the MVP, that he would come back with a bigger effort. And as you and I sit here, what did we look at each other? 8-5-4 as you got out of the first quarter. Also a steal in the books. 8 points in his 10 minutes played, and 32-25, but just more aggressive, more spreading and getting the teammates involved. Because it feels at times with this squad and with Jamal Murray, obviously different, but with the current configuration, it's standing around. Either Michael Porter Jr. is taking a boatload of shots, so the ball's going through him, or it's all Jokic. And at least for the early part of this game, they're back to a flow where he's distributing and less standing around.
Absolutely. And, you know, Will Barton in the lineup is helping a lot. He's a baller. I've always liked Will Barton. He's got a really, really high motor. But ultimately, you know, I've heard Coach Malone say this several times, that Jokic has to be aggressive. When he's aggressive offensively, like you said, Mike, he opens the floor for every single person that he plays against, because the last thing you want to do is double team a great passer. And the irony, he's a great passing big.
Big
so,
man, sure.
You know, he can hit you from the elbows, from the block, from the top of the key. He can shoot. But if you got to run and get the ball out of his hands, you know, they've got those big guards and Aaron Gordon and Porter Jr. that are posting you up, and they're back cutting for wide open threes or dunks, which makes an extreme headache for any opposition to have to play against. But, you know, Jokic has that type of talent, and we saw him dismantle the Clippers his last year that can get hot and get rolling. And I tell you, there's nothing worse than a great passer and at any position, especially big.
Conversely, we look at the Phoenix Suns and a guy that got a couple of MVP votes. I think people were crying that there weren't a few more taken off the ledger from Jokic is Chris Paul. And right now the Suns lead up to 10. Timeout on the floor, 8:31 remaining here in the second quarter. Paul with 4 points, but already 4 boards, 6 assists. Another guy that was fairly easy money if you were starting to look at triple-double odds, if you were getting cute. Likewise, Devin Booker is at 6 points, 7 rebounds, so getting active. But the matchup from game one that is curious is just the fact that DeAndre Ayton matched Jokic. Right? If that's going to happen, you're going to lose.
You're done.
You're done.
You're
like,
finito.
You're probably getting blown out in every game as well, just like we saw in game one.
Dude, even if Mike, even if he has half of the production, but plays well defensively and bothers Jokic's shot, they lose. And I think that Monty has done an excellent job of just letting DeAndre Ayton know that. And Ayton, some people forget, he was the first pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He's a double-double guy. And he's a great defender. So, you know, him just being out there using his length, using his activity is paying dividends. And then, you know, he's just enough that's going to make Jokic have to work on the defensive end of the floor. Jokic is horrific in pick and rolls, okay? He's horrific, and he's not a great defender. He'll tell you, you know, he's not the greatest athlete. You know, you've heard him joke about that, but
we've all seen the pictures. Hell, it was only appropriate that there was a Taco Bell ad playing when he got picked.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I can't body shame anybody, but we're also talking about elite athletes here that you're trying to keep up with.
Are you living through Jokic? Is that what you're telling me?
I am a little bit, except for that whole 7 foot thing. But also, because we did a little bit on it yesterday, right, as it scrolled with because of the MVP, because it was in a commercial when he got selected, and it was a Jason Smith loves the quesarito above all else. So it became all a celebration about fast food.
You know what? I was drafted during a commercial. I don't know what that commercial was for.
We
I'm going to have to find
that.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Taco Bell started trending and getting a lot of run because of that connection.
Really?
Yeah, because it became a kind of a viral thing of like, hey, remember this guy got drafted so late. They weren't even, not only green room, but also 41st overall, so they were in commercials. So, you know, that, hey, we come back, and these last three guys have been picked. What do you think? And so So it's one of those kind of situations, and again, because of Smith's love of cheese. Add how about a Fresca if you want to find, you know, harass him and find out why he's playing hooky tonight. But for the Suns, though, Chris Paul, the shoulder injury, now they're saying back up to 90%. It feels like he's a video game. The way we're monitoring this guy anymore, game to game. It's like he was 80%. Now he found a power pellet. Now he's back up to 90%. And how dangerous are they? If he can stay healthy, right? It's the old, if Chris Paul can't stay healthy, is this a team that can run to meet the Nets on the other side?
Man, as much as we keep wanting to say, you know, this team, they aren't contenders. They don't have a shot against the Lakers. They keep proving people wrong. Now, I'm not completely sold on them, but there's a certain energy right now in Phoenix that's infectious. They're playing hard. They're believing. This was a team that went undefeated in the bubble and came back with unfinished business. With all due respect to Coach Tibbs, I thought Monty was a coach of the year. You know, for what
that
he
was
done.
My next question as we're discussing this. But
I thought he deserved that last year. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead. But,
no, that's fine.
You know, Chris is a guy who I was among the majority that thought that his career was on the outs. You know, it was injury after injury. This was just the case of every great athlete at some point in time. But he went vegan, probably changed some things in his workout, and had two of the more impressive seasons that we've expected for someone at his age. And we're seeing Chris really just legacy build right now. And the one thing that he does not have is a championship. You know, we made a run when we were playing for the Lob City Clippers, and we just couldn't get it done. We knew how talented that squad was, but it just, you know, things ultimately didn't work out. But, you know, Chris is putting himself in a different category right now, and he's almost the, you know, he's the X factor of X factors. He's the, you know, the franchise builder. And if you think about it, New Orleans wasn't that great. Turns around New Orleans. comes to the Clippers. The Clippers were a laughing stock of the NBA, and he took the Clippers to another level. And these last two teams, OKC and Phoenix, you can't think of any a greater feat. And I mean, shoot, how many players outside of LeBron James would have gone to the Suns and had that type of response that wasn't deemed a superstar? You know, think about a guy that's not a superstar that would have been done what Chris Paul has done. And I'm not saying Chris isn't a superstar, but he's an older superstar.
Well, but,
which
but
counts.
The point being that you also had two guys that have established as a 1 and 1A,
yes,
in Booker and Ayton. I don't think gets the national respect. To your point earlier, he's a double-double guy.
Yeah.
And just because he's number one overall pick, I think he just kind of gets pushed off to the side. It's like, oh, you haven't lived up to what a number one is. But if you actually watch and you pay attention, and because they play in Phoenix, nobody's up late watching. They get a couple of highlights and a couple, if Booker has a big shooting night, there's a bunch of shots or one of those kind of things.
Drafted ahead of Trey and Luka doesn't help either.
No. Well, you're always going to be remembered on that.
Yeah.
But just the idea that Chris Paul, they welcomed him in. After going 8-0 in the bubble, Monty Williams and what he was able to do to get these guys to gel and keep playing, he wound it up. There's no question about it. So they rolled through, but he kept waiting for them to fade, waiting for there to be a problem, and it never happened. Much like Utah, right, when Mitchell went out for that month.
Very true.
They held.
Yeah.
Right, which is amazing. Yeah, you saw what Jordan Clarkson was most nights. Obviously,
Conley
went healthy, and that's the big star on that series. But when we look at Phoenix and the Monty Williams versus Tom Thibodeau debate, it's like, it's fun that New York got back into their New York groove and all that, to use the old song. But they were in the middle of the pack in the playoff berth, and it's great that the Garden's full and everybody's excited, but you were fourth in the East, and over here you got a team that runs to the second in the West ahead of all of these preseason favorites.
Yeah.
And you were able to keep this cohesive, get some great production out of your bench, but to manage Chris Paul's minutes and get to this point seemed to me that there should have been a shuffle there.
Yeah, and as far as Monty being coach of the year, you got to understand this. When you play in the Eastern Conference, you got a lot of just gimmies. You got a lot of teams that just they're out of it. And yes, you can argue, well, the East is top heavy. Well, it is. Well, after that, there's not much there. You know, when you're playing on in the Western Conference, you got the ninth and tenth seed is Steph Curry and Draymond. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, the San Antonio Spurs.
Spurs are down there on a given night. They don't play any defense. But even New Orleans gave you fits because they score points.
Yes.
Right? Between Ingram
New Orleans
and
got,
Zion.
They have two All-Stars.
And then two All-Stars in the 11th spot. And then whatever Lonzo is. Until Lonzo leaves after this year. One note, just as we finish up on the Suns. What's interesting is Chris Paul has an option on his contract. Curious as to what that next deal looks like. Is he staying in Phoenix, or is there someone else saying, come and fix us?
He turned it down, which means I know Chris is smart enough. He must know something that we don't know.
Well, we know you opt out and get your pay raise.
Yeah.
But then it becomes terms of the shuffle.
36, 37 years of age, what is that pay raise in how many years? But he's in good hands.
No, especially if he can come through unscathed at the Ryan Hollins. Yes, NBA vet, our friend here, teammate on Fox Sports Radio. Joining me tonight as Jason takes the night off. I'm Mike Harmon. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Reminder, we're brought to you by Indeed. The good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. Just another reason Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. That's right, 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. That's according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Now, we quote Batman movies around here a lot, and you'll hear the term, why so serious, with some regularity. Today, I'm asking why you so scared, and it's about last night's game. We get into it next year on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Greetings. Welcome back in The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Smith is off tonight. Because as Alice Cooper once sang, school's out for the summer. Which means he's probably up to his ears in cheese, burgers, and a bunch of random television shows that he's going to rewatch 75 times. So good on him. He'll be back tomorrow. In his stead, my guy, NBA vet, teammate here at Fox Sports Radio. He, along with Brendan Haywood, make up over 14 feet of man on a podcast. It's Ryan Hollins.
Just so Jason knows, and make sure he knows I left this message, I left this warning, I left this trash talk for him. I'm the cheapest man in this studio, and I will not be challenged.
This is the ongoing battle here for years at Fox Sports Radio, and we've got contenders. Oh, we've got contenders. Rob Parker wears it on his sleeve. He will get up at the end of a segment and go walk across the street to go refill a drink that he bought 3 days ago. Okay? He will do that. You run in with gear that has been gifted to you some many years in the past, and maybe you still got friends that are hooking you up. Hey, you're 7 feet. You play for a team. Send it my way. I don't know. Smith, same thing. Free T-shirts. It's what he's all about. And you know what? You try to save a buck wherever you can. Because, again, every dime you put away, let it just grow. Plant that seed. Because eventually, you're going to have an event you want to go to. Your kid's going to be smarter than you thought and is going to want to go to college. All of those things. And suddenly, you're going to need those dollars. Who knows? Maybe your team actually runs to the NBA Finals and you want to go and be part of the throng. Maybe here, if it were to happen in L.A. for the Clippers, you could be the person to replace the cardboard cutout at courtside. You could be that guy. Think about that, Ryan Hollins. But after last night's game, I've got a big question for you.
Talk to me.
Let's hear that final sequence for the Clippers.
Morris, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, blocked by Gobert. 1 second, he fires a two. The Jazz are going to win. The Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, blocks the shot in the corner, and the Utah Jazz have taken a 1-0 lead over the LA Clippers. We, monsieur.
Jazz Radio Network on the call. I take you to that final sequence. It was a little further along in the process, but to set it back up for those that maybe either haven't seen the replay a bunch or maybe forgot the exact sequence of events here, you get the ball coming up the court. Kawhi does one of those handoffs to Paul George, who immediately turns, fires it back to him. Now we're down to about 5.6. He's got Joe Ingles flashing at him. Gobert's kind of in no man's land between Kawhi and Morris in the corner. And after the game, he said, hey, I baited him. I knew they were gonna send it. I don't think he was as close as he'd like to claim he was, but that's fine. But Kawhi gets the ball to Morris. Can't get his shot off once. Gets it back. Can't get it off again. Game over. Gobert celebration. 112-109, the final. My question is, why do neither of your stars, you know, the streetlights over spotlights guys that we saw advertised everywhere, why did neither of them really want the shot?
I don't know if I could say that they didn't want it. It was a scenario where they have a timeout, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Ty Lue doesn't call it. The Clippers had all the momentum. They got two or three stops prior, hit a big three. They were down six to come within three.
Right, George hit that at 38-4 left, yeah.
And the thinking is, if you can get it and go in transition, you don't give Utah an opportunity to get their defense set. The problem is, Ty Lue, you don't have a unit that's just going to go out and play and can feed off of each other.
Well, because Reggie Jackson is fouled out. So he's not an option. So you lose that, and you've lost your transition because they just lined up at the three-point arc.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as Kawhi gets the ball and realizes I have to either dump it to Morris and hope I get it back, he's just got to call timeout.
You call it a timeout because there's uncertainty. But if you have a unit, it's good to go because the defense isn't set. You know, as players, we'll be in the huddle and we'll remind each other, hey, no threes. Give up the sure. Two. Give up the layup. Give up the two. Two doesn't beat us, okay? The three ties us right now. So that's a scenario that those guys weren't equipped for. There just isn't enough experience with the Clippers. But I think it's an upside in a sense that the Clippers are actually getting better as these playoffs have gone. Now, they laid a complete egg in last year's playoffs. We don't need to talk about that again. But this is a team that we're watching get better, right?
That's why they were able to fly under the radar this year, right? They're sitting in the three hole, but nobody's paying attention because you're just waiting for the playoffs. Like, the regular season doesn't matter.
No.
Right, from Lob City, sorry. And all those expectations. I mean, the reality, though, like, this is
nobody
a few
remembers
years
the Lob
coming.
City Clippers?
No, but they're just pushed aside as a, they didn't achieve.
We were a fun team. We were
fun team to watch.
We were fun.
Great highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Brought the team forward, but then hit a stop. Yep. And now last year's squad get into the bubble, and then you have all the tales of infighting and problems.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've asked all season long, and Ty Lue coached a good game yesterday, right? They're up 13 at the half. They keep battling down the stretch. Clear, their legs are not quite there. Kawhi, second half, more active and has bigger numbers. Paul George, a terrible shooting night overall, but hits the big shot, as we said, in that final minute. But when you had all these issues and everybody immediately wanted to point fingers at Doc Rivers for the failure. How do you promote Ty Lue then if the coaching staff wasn't getting it done?
Here's the truth as far as Doc being fired. I feel like when Ballmer came, Doc was Sterling's guy. And Steve Ballmer never hired his guy yet. You know, he never brought his guy on. Now, Ty Lue technically wasn't his guy. But Ty Lue's got a championship. And sometimes you don't, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. But last year's feeling, the energy, it was so bad that they felt like, well, let's get rid of, we got to make some type of change. I'm not necessarily a big component of firing Doc. I don't think that was the greatest move, but I understand it. Now, Ty Lue does an excellent job of relating to players. You know, when I played under him and we'd hang out in the summer times, he's one of those people, he just commands respect. You know, he'd be able to, you know, kind of get in Garnett's face and tell him, you know, he wasn't playing hard enough or just, hey, get the job done. He'd get on Chris Paul when needed. You know,
I'd like to hear the conversation between he and Kevin Garnett.
He told him how it was.
Knowing how Kevin Garnett will spit back at him.
You know, he demands that respect. He was able to tell LeBron to shut up and play basketball, you know? Just do your job. And they won a championship for it. So Ty has that respect. And, you know, you got a real intriguing group. Kawhi, you know, I have no idea what he's like behind the scenes. He's quiet as a mouse, right?
He's the greatest enigma in all of sports.
PG is good, but maybe at one point not as good as he thought he was. You know, if you put him in the right scenarios, I think he's really good, but a little too big.
We'll
too
get
big
into
league.
Him a little right, bit later because right. There was some stuff with the crowd yesterday that, you know, I don't know that I buy his explanation post game. Mm-hmm.
But all fairness, coming back to Ty Lue, I think he didn't call the timeout, didn't want their defense to get set. You run that scenario back again, they call a timeout. Now, keep in mind, in that Dallas game, end of the game, when Rondo gives a crazy look over to, and I played with Rondo, to
when
Kawhi.
When he gave that Kawhi look, yeah.
I feel like Kawhi broke the play, and that's why he looked at him. Not that he missed a shot. I feel like Kawhi absolutely broke the play, and when you're a superstar and we're trying to get you to, you got to let the play develop, and especially when you end up shooting an air ball, and maybe Ty Lue was afraid of an opportunity for these guys to break or not run the play. But if I'm Kawhi or Paul George, no one else is touching it. I'm sorry. You know, you don't move it, but I get it. Morris hit the big three prior and was the hottest shooting on the team at the time. He's been excellent from three, you know, so I do get some of that logic, but Kawhi's got to take that shot.
Your money man's got to finish it off. He's Ryan Hollins. At the Ryan Hollins is where you find him. Maybe later we'll play 6 degrees of Ryan Hollins. You know what I played for that guy? And we'll just start spidering out from all the assistant coaches.
We're taking you straight to, where do you want to go to?
We
got you a degree away from whoever. We got you there.
We are all good. Hey, coming up next, we talk about the, maybe you're scared. Another guy that's just saying, hey, I had all the smoke. It was all on me.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go back to my hometown of Chicago, where we've got a new book coming out called Unguarded, with co-authored with Michael Arkish. It is Scottie Pippen's memoir, a raw, unvarnished look into the life of six-time NBA champion Scottie Pippen and his role on one of the greatest teams of all time. That is the longest damn subtitle in the history of man. Okay, but there's a couple of things that are starting to hit a little bit and people getting a bit fired up, and we got to parse it out here, Ryan. You've got Pippen, quote, "There's no Michael Jordan as we know him without him. The 90s Bulls teams would not exist as we know them." Okay, fine, sure, nothing no, controversial
it's
there.
That's normal, that's normal.
Let's go through that. Next, Pippen details how he cringed at being labeled Jordan's sidekick, and discusses how he could have and should have received more respect from the Bulls management and the media. Now, from the Bulls management, I'm going to go back to this. If they offer you a long-term deal where there's not a lot of money involved and you say yes, that's on you. They got no need to go and renegotiate, now, especially 30 years ago. Nowadays, you'd pull an Aaron Rodgers, you'd be in Hawaii, you'd be doing all this stuff. And I use him as the latest example, even though his isn't entirely about money. Don't try to tell me that there's not some cash involved there.
Pretty much.
But the reality is we see guys play hardball. Back then, it was, I want a raise. I'm outplaying my contract. It's like, good. Good on us that we got you to sign a seven-year deal.
Yeah.
So you want to be mad about that, you be mad on it. And when he had the opportunity to be the leader, the migraine game, no matter what was going on, that's always going to stick. The Kukoc moment is always going to be there, whether you like it, whatever the reality was of how badly he was hurting, how his sight was affected, everything else. You're never going to be able to say that. It's like a guy, you know, that sits out saying, "I got a little bit of a bad back." It ain't showing up on an x-ray, right? I mean, like, so, like, unless you've actually got a cracked bone in your back, it's going to be like, you could have gone, man. Come on now.
True.
Especially if you want to be the guy, which is what he's kind of saying here.
Yeah.
Is, you know,
yeah.
At least to a degree. Like, the first part, not going to just quibble with at all, right? I was there. I mean, that's my upbringing. I watched the bad Jordan teams and watched and marveled at him from the 300 level. And then they started to win, and that was the end of being able to get any tickets. And I remember that very, very well. Hell, I was there when Reggie Theus and Artis Gilmore and those guys were running around back in the day. How about that? Before he was hanging out on Saturday morning TV, I'll have you know. Look it up, people. Look at his IMDb. Pippen discusses what it was like dealing with Jordan on a day-to-day basis while serving as the quote-unquote real leader within the Bulls locker room. You got a decade of NBA experience in you. You've been around this game a long time. How do you react to that last line? The quote-unquote real leader of this squad.
That's...
Is it a bridge too far?
Look, man, I don't think there's any reason to take anything away from Scottie Pippen other than comparing him to Michael Jordan, and there's no comparing. I wasn't in that Bulls locker room, but I've never gotten the vibe that Scottie Pippen was the leader. He was a leader. I've never gotten the vibe that he was the leader. Now, quite possibly, if we're going to play devil's advocate, Michael don't get along with everybody. Michael has, and he let you know, there's an exclusive club of players in which he vied with, and he vied with you, or he did or he didn't. Doesn't matter if you're a teammate, coach, whatever, you are either on Michael's team or not. Scottie Pippen may have been the guy putting out the fires that Michael was setting in practice, apparently. So maybe there's some leadership qualities there, some fires that were put out by Scottie Pippen in order for the Bulls to be the Bulls. Because Michael Jordan's leadership from watching The Last Dance We all brought in the question. You know, we've heard the stories,
like,
right?
What's the leadership style, right? Do you respond to it or not? And look, everybody's an NBA player. While Jordan's up here at the top, everybody else is a pro cashing a check.
And that don't
sit
well with
guys. So those egos are there.
Yeah.
Right? Because they've been the best their whole life, and they know if they're not in that situation, maybe they're the number three guy over in another spot.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas here, they're number six, just the way things are constructed and how Phil Jackson runs his squad.
Dude, forget that. Common respect. Just man to man.
Right.
Like, I don't care who you are. Just common respect, man to man. And Jordan was rubbing people the wrong ways. And maybe Scottie Pippen was the buffer between a lot of things in which these guys bought in to come to play. I don't care who you are. The my way or the highway way, you know, it works somewhat then, but it doesn't always
work. He took
it
personally.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, as great as Michael is, I don't want to speak to the type of person he is because I wasn't in that locker room. But like I said, Mike is a tough cookie, you know, and that type of leadership does not always go over well. And I know how great – no one can question Michael's greatness on the court. But to be second fiddle, third fiddle, fourth fiddle – that's a tough go sometimes.
See, and I've heard the arguments and just have to raise my hand because I've already seen it going on social media. If your answer to this is, what did Michael win without Scottie? Mm. Or what did Scottie win without Michael? You've put him on the same level.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what you've done by getting into those discussions. Ralph and I having a little of this in the hallway because he knows my Chicago roots and where he can needle. Where there might be a little bit of trouble festering, he's going to try to do. And the Bulls have been irrelevant for a long time. You've got a couple of stars that are interesting to watch how they develop, right? With LaVine stepping forward. Kobe White looks like he can be a baller, but he's not a complete picture
yet. I like Kobe White.
Right? There's a lot to like there, but he's not a finished product. So we'll, you know, when we look at the next iteration of this Bulls squad, can they lure a free agent? Do they get relevant again? In the interim, you got this book that's being teased, and I can't wait to see. Michael Jordan was out at the NASCAR race this weekend. Like, we saw him walking around. Let's see if we can get a microphone in front of him to see what kind of response you get from this.
Hey, Mike gave us the last dance. I don't think we're getting anything else. But also,
you know
too,
what? They got a lot of footage there that could put a little bit of a nuclear bomb on this. I bet.
hear the wording though. Sidekick. You know, sidekick is like you know you're a tag along, and I think you know for one of the top 50 greatest players ever. Let's not take that out of context either. Sidekick is that's little brother tagging on. Like, I don't think Scottie Pippen was tagging on. Now, I don't know. I'd have to see proof that Scottie was a leader, but sidekick means, you know, you're just one of the guys in the background.
It's a
background
question,
dancer.
Right? Yeah, no, and I think that's an astute point, right? Of trying to figure out astute observation, the idea of sidekick versus partner or whatever other term you might use.
Mike, I would be offended if, you know, the listeners felt like I was your sidekick. That wouldn't offend me, but I'd accept my role.
I'd get over it, man, because the check's still cashing.
The check is cashing. I'll be the sidekick, but, you know, if I'm Scottie Pippen,
isn't Robin always just seen as the sidekick to Batman?
Robin, being called Robin to Batman,
but
to
even though he got the job done, right?
That sounds...
Because if you watch the 1966 series...
He did.
Robin was essential to a lot of getting Batman out of some trouble.
I feel like being called Robin is better than being called sidekick, though.
See, that was always... In Chicago, it was always Batman Robin.
I don't think that's bad. Batman Robin.
But that's how it always was. The sidekick.
Sidekick's stronger.
I don't remember that like being the narrative.
Yeah, sidekick.
Because it diminished what he was bringing to the table, right?
Steve Kerr might have been a sidekick, right?
Yeah. Okay. He was an ancillary piece.
Yeah. I don't think I give him that.
But an ancillary piece.
And I wonder who called. How did they ask this question? You know, we're so good in the media just sparking things up. Wordplay, right?
No, but that's it. People just love to play with words. What do? For 4 hours? Open mouth, say things. And we continue to do it here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Mike Harmon. Coming up next, the curious case of an NFL team became even curiouser, if that's a word. I want to know why they made this decision. We'll talk about it next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Cleveland!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason off tonight. Ryan Hollins good enough to come down, hang out. He's grubbing away as he does because when you stand 7 feet plus, you got to keep that caloric count flowing, especially when you're bringing the hot takes as well as we sit here in the Fox Sports Radio studios. Brought to you by Discover. Hey, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. And it's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99%. Set of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Based on a 2021 Nielsen report, limitations do apply. Slip sliding away. Suns now with a 17-point bulge. Here as we get into the beginning of the third quarter, Devin Booker with 13. Crowder's now got 11. He's 4-4 from the field. Three-point shots, making it happen for the Nuggets. Jokic with 15. The stat line to watch, Michael Porter Jr., 19 minutes played, 2 points, 1 of 8 from the field, 0 for 6 from three-point range, Ryan Hollins.
Yeah, it's been a real struggle so far, and it talked about just the energy behind Phoenix. Here's the reality from a schematical standpoint. Let's make everybody smarter right now.
It's what we aspire to do.
When you play coverage against Chris Paul, which means that your center is going to hold in the pick and roll until the guard gets over and gets back in front, he's going to dismantle you. There's shooters all around. There's Ayton rolling down the middle. He's going to dismantle you. If you don't have a roster that can switch pick and rolls and, you know, keep size on Chris and size on Booker and size on Ayton, you don't have a shot. The Nuggets are looking like they don't have a shot.
Which is really sad for me because I was the outlier in our Fox Sports Radio host picking out of the Western Conference. I was the only one to not pick the Lakers or the Clippers. Just on principle.
Really?
I had to.
Is that the Chicago in you?
No, that's the you get no laurel crown for outrunning a burrow. In other words, if everybody's going to pick the same damn thing, how interesting is it? Zero.
So you're going for the answer.
Zero. So I said, all right, if these guys can gel and if Porter Jr. can actually hit a shot, they got a chance. And instead, he's broken. Now Jokic, 6 of 12 as well. We'll get back into that game in a few minutes. But I want to ask you this, veteran of the NBA. In the NFL, a team that's already struggling for an identity, a lot of turnover, you got a quarterback in turmoil. He'd asked for a trade, and then obviously all of the assault allegations that came up against Deshaun Watson. After a great OTA's attendance, the Texans decided not to have minicamp. New quarterback, new running backs, huge roster turnover. Oh, a new coach. All of these things. So anybody that would have decided not to come, they're not getting fined either. And evidently the team and the players have this conversation, so we're not even going to have it.
Listen, man, this Deshaun Watson situation is stickier than I thought. I don't think anybody saw it coming, nor is there anything we can compare to. I guess guilty and proven till it's kind of weird.
It's in that weird spot.
Is he going to play, not play?
But either way, he's probably going to get suspended under the personal conduct policy, whatever happens legally, which means you have a new quarterback and a new system to install. You got a defense that's without J.J. Watt. All of these things swirling, and you cancel a mini camp. Curious from David Culley and company. He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Mike Harmon. We're here in the Fox Sports Radio studios having some fun with you. Coming up next, we get back into another fun and exciting story of the National Basketball Association. Why? The carousel is spinning, baby. Let's go for a ride.